Patreon.
Streaming now on the new BlackPlanetRadio.com.
Good morning. Court Radio is now in session.
Welcome to Court Radio.
Call 1-800-359-1479.
And the lines are alight.
When you've got legal questions.
Do I have any legal recourse?
What are my rights in this situation?
Is that valid?
And I'm just wondering, what is the statute of limitations?
We've got the answer.
You can whip your pictures out in court and say, liar, liar, pants on fire.
Right. This is Court Radio.
Let me go get the popcorn. This sounds like fun.
And now, here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Hey, 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 good morning. It's Dean Weitzman, your host for Court Radio. It's 7 a.m. in Philadelphia. We're on 100.3 WRNB, and this is Court Radio. I'm joined this morning with my co-host, the inimitable, the one, the only, David M. Rappaport.
Good morning. Inimitable.
Hello there.
Wow, I like that.
Well, that's a mouth exercise for a radio host.
Inimitable.
In the morning. If you say that a couple times, you're ready to do the show.
Well, I'm ready.
All right. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Folks, it's cold outside. Be careful when you're getting out because any water has frozen overnight. Yeah, there will be no splashing. It's just solid. Actually, I'm looking out at the, when I was getting up this morning, looking down at the Schuylkill, and it, too, looks like it's starting to freeze over.
Looked frosty.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. You know, I actually saw the water starting to look like the viscosity was, getting, heavier as time went by, up to the point of freezing. I could see that the freeze was coming.
Mm.
Yeah. We're talking about freezes, David, because it's freezes? A garden day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, not a good day to have a garden going outside.
You don't think so, huh?
No, I don't think anything's growing at this point.
We're going to be joined shortly, David. We're going to be joined by Mike Devlin, a garden activist. He's taken Camden by storm.
Who would have thought you needed a garden activist in our lifetime?
Right.
Like, that's how bad things have become.
They have. They're trying to take his land from him. His land.
And I like how you have to call yourself an activist to be in favor of a garden, when it should be kind of the opposite.
How about
should be a building activist and a garden enthusiast?
How about I want to eat?
Yeah, right. You know? Well,
I mean, little basic needs. I think we need gardens. But we'll get around to Mike Devlin in a moment. How about this? A woman sues Match.com.
Yeah, I like that.
What is she suing for?
Apparently, she got a date with this guy through the service and knew him for only 10 days, broke up with him, said, you're not my type or I don't want you in my life. See you later. 4 months later, he shows up at her house in her garage and attacks her, stabbed her 10 times, kicked her in the head. I guess tried to kill her. And now she's suing him. Well, sorry, she's not suing him. She's suing Match.com for $10 million. And he went to jail for the crime that he committed on her, and he died in jail. So she didn't end up suing him. She sued Match.com for negligent misrepresentation, deceptive trade, blah, 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 saying they said she would end up with a stable and loving relationship with another member. But she didn't, obviously.
So false advertisement? Is that failure to do a proper background check?
Citing negligent misrepresentation, which I assume the allegations of negligence are failing to weed out
killers,
mass murderers, right?
Yep.
Deceptive trade, I guess saying we're going to give you a stable and loving relationship, but then not doing that. Failing to warn and negligent infliction of emotional distress.
Folks, what do you think about this? Is Match.com got liability? Should they be coughing up bucks to this lady who was attacked through somebody she met on Match.com? If you got an opinion, you can reach David and I at 215-263-1003. That's right. And not only that, but if you got an opinion on anything else or you got a question, that's what we do here. You got a legal question, David and I will endeavor to answer it.
We have to fill in another fact here, though.
Yes.
Without any other facts, my personal opinion would be take a hike. You have no case. There is one fact that might lend some credence to it, that this guy apparently was wanted by the police he was a suspect in the killing of an ex-girlfriend in Phoenix, Arizona. So, Should they have known that? Should Match.com have figured that out? And told this woman, hey, you can go on a date with this guy. He's a good match for you. He's also wanted in the murder of his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, I think, I mean, maybe. I would agree with you that if you currently are a fugitive of justice, or you have, maybe you have a really extensive and violent past criminal record.
Right.
Do you think maybe they could quickly do a background check and weed out those who fit into that? But then you start getting into, well,
you get into privacy issues too. What if someone committed a crime 35 years ago? They've been in jail. They're quote unquote rehabilitated. Are they not entitled to try and seek out a loving relationship with somebody? I mean, there's a lot of issues there. But I think the dissemination of information is an important one in this case.
Yeah.
If he's wanted for a crime, they probably, you know, there's an argument to be made that they should have known that and said to her, hey, this is on you.
Maybe called the police.
Yeah, who knows? You know, but at least, very least, said to her.
Or the FBI.
This guy's a match for you, but you might want to know that he's wanted for murder.
215-263-1003. If you got legal questions, David and I have the answer. You can also reach us during the week. That's right. When we're not here, we're in the internet. David shrinks down. He goes into the internet.
Yes.
And that's where he is. We keep him there for the entire week.
And run around to there.
www.courtradio.com is available, as well as myphillylawyer.com. And rnbphilly.com. There's so many .coms, but the real one that you really need to focus on, the one and only, the biggest, the best, myphillylawyer.com. Bam. Or you can reach us on the phone, 215-227-2727. But right now, for the next hour, for the next 60 minutes, you got Kyle, David, and I at 215-263-1003. And the lines are jumping. So if you get knocked off or you don't get on, just keep on trying. We're going to answer your questions today while we talk about this Match.com lady. Well, David concludes that there may be a claim to be made.
It's tenuous at best. But
hey, David, a lunatic tried to blow up the Liberty Bell.
Nice.
Yeah. We were talking about this last week, you know, and I think that this is important, all joking aside.
Actually, he didn't, though.
No, he didn't.
Try to. Either.
Well, he claimed to have the ability, and he was going to do it.
Well, okay, but the there was
police,
no bombs.
The police came, and that's why I say he was just an ordinary lunatic, and he really wasn't, capable at that point of doing anything. But the thing is that, in all seriousness, we're surrounded by people who have mental health issues, and I really think that this is going to become our mantra, David, for the next, year or two.
I want to take a little issue with you on that.
Go ahead.
I heard a statistic today.
Yes.
From a gentleman in the mental health industry.
Today? Somebody called you on
I didn't personally hear it. I heard it on the news cycle.
Uh-huh.
Person who's works in the mental health industry. And I'm going to check this out, but I'm going to believe it for the moment. That overwhelming majority of gun violence deaths are not caused by persons with mental illness. Now,
they're the ones that get the news, though.
Multiples. Sure. The one, right, you hear about the story in Colorado and all these mass, the schools, yes, mental health issue. But that, when you add up the deaths caused by guns, 80% are caused by people without mental illness. So the question really is, I understand your focus, but is that really the cause of gun violence?
Well, I would say this. Using your numbers, we had 10,000 deaths in the United States by guns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if 2,000 or 20% are lunatics, then that's a number worth looking at.
No, I agree, but wouldn't you want to focus more on the 8,000?
But they're going to be all kinds of varied stuff, you know. Well, of course, you limit guns, you're going to limit all deaths, right?
Right, I agree.
As an aside, we have a mental health crisis. I mean, I know that word is used or abused.
You mean over and above gun?
Yes.
Right, okay, I got you.
There's a mental health crisis in the United States, and we need to focus some of our dollars on that.
Okay, I'm with you.
And I think that makes it, you know, if we had a hospital in Philadelphia, let's just look at Philly, because that's really all we're in control of.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Nutter. Okay, so if we're in control of Philly and we have a hospital like we used to called Byberry,
right?
Okay, that we can put people who are lunatics, okay, who have mental health issues, who are really have no business being out and in out in the world,
right?
Okay, we would have a more beautiful city in the sense that you wouldn't be. You know, it isn't homeless people who are that are in the concourse. They're homeless, crazy people in the concourse.
Well, it's funny you mention that because just as an aside, I was going to say in the concourse, walking to the parking garage that's underneath our building, I'm rounding the corner going into the garage and I hear a conversation going on, loud screaming conversation. So I expect to come around.
No doubt, one man talking to himself.
That's right. I expect to see people talking to each other. Come around, it's one guy talking to himself.
All right, let's talk to Rebecca on line three from Lindenwald. Rebecca.
Yes.
Hi, welcome to Court Radio.
How are you this morning?
We're doing well, thanks. You have a comment about the Match.com killing or attempted killing.
Go ahead.
Yes, I do. I would have to say that that it depends on what it is exactly that Match.com knew about this gentleman, because a dating website is just that. It's a dating website. So it is it'd be male or female's duty to take proper precautions in order, you know, if you're going to put yourself out there in that manner. I did it for a while, and that's actually where I met my husband, on a different website.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my what-the-heck moments and what-the-heck dates, but I made sure they never knew where I lived. They never knew even what state I lived in. So I was very cautious in where I met people, what exactly I told them about myself, you know, prior to me getting to know who they were.
Right.
So I can't say that they would be fully responsible for what took place with her, because we don't know what steps she took to keep herself safe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you're leaving the door open like David is. Possibly they knew too much not to have told her, correct?
Right.
All right. I can buy that. All right. Have a great day, Rebecca. Thanks for calling Court Radio.
Thank you.
All right. Let's try Desiree from South Jersey. It's got a Match.com question. Hello, Desiree, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing well, thanks. And you?
I'm fine.
So what's your Match.com issue?
I believe that somewhat to what Rebecca just said, the woman did have a choice, okay, because you have a choice when you join sites like that, so that you could say no, you know, and you don't share too much information with the people that you actually come in contact with here, you know. So I feel that the woman, she shouldn't be someone Match.com.
All right, there they go. Another one for in favor of Match.com. Thanks, Desiree, for calling Court Radio, and have a great Sunday.
Yeah, the other thing is, what if it opens up the floodgates? You know, Facebook is notorious for...
There's been some litigation in this arena, though.
Against Facebook?
No, not against Craigslist. Don't you remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's So those are some precedents out there. Do online services who put people together have any obligation? And I guess what you have to look at is what do they promise? Do they kind of in their advertising give you the feeling that they've done some background checks, that they and especially a place like Match.com?
Yeah, I agree.
You know, they have these questionnaires, I think. I've never used Match.com, but I mean, I believe that
there's... Oh, come on.
No, I haven't. But I believe that there's questionnaires that they use that kind of, you know, tries to get people to... put people together that have like interests, I would assume. In that process, I wonder if they have, you know...
Now you make a great point, because there's a distinct difference, I think. That Match.com is actually saying, we're bringing you together. Actually, Match.com actually says, we're going to find through your profile those that are matched with you.
Right.
That's our thing. We're good at doing that. We can find you good matches.
Right. I don't think she was looking for a killer.
Right. Whereas, like,
I mean,
like Facebook,
I could be wrong,
and
but...
Craigslist... All Craigslist is saying is, hey, some people are going to post on here that they have stuff to sell or give. You call them and can arrange to get it. They're not really representing anything about the veracity of the people. Neither is Facebook, really.
If you're listening to Dave at Nine, we're talking about a woman suing Match.com for an attempted murder. She had a date and didn't go well. 215-263-1003. You got an opinion? Give us a call. Let's talk to Sadiq from North Philly. Good morning, Sadiq, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, man. How y'all feeling this morning?
We're doing well.
Hey, I just wanted to say, man, that joint is really like, it's like messing with them dating websites is like, it's like playing with a broke video game. Like playing at just real right. It's like playing at your own risk, man. It's like,
yeah, true.
Like, I really don't think they're liable for it because it's like this also. What if this person never had no criminal history?
Yeah, what if?
Right,
what if?
You're right.
So, like, now this might be his first crime. So, like, are they liable for that?
No, well, that's why I said
so.
The
wait,
fact
Sadiq,
that he,
Sadiq, yeah? you're not using Match.com?
No, I'm married.
Oh, okay. Well, how did you before you got married? Okay, and by the way, I was driving up 95. Besides looking at my own billboards occasionally.
That's what I thought you were going. You had to mention that.
Besides looking at my own,
mug.
There was actually a billboard that said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," with the "not" crossed out.
Yeah, and it's Ashley Madison, right?
Well, one like that. One, it wasn't actually that one. And let's
Cougar
not
Town.
Let's not give them props here. But there was actually a billboard that endorsed adultery. It said, "Thou shalt commit adultery."
Yeah, yeah.
Folks, what do you think about this? I mean, have we as a society taken one giant leap?
Well, here's the issue. Real quick, here's the issue. It used to be, in the early days of the internet and everything, and these I wouldn't say Match.com, but these services, you know very well that it was sort of a seedy thing to do, and everyone knew that the person on the other side of the phone, usually it was the phone type, you call the phone talk sex lines or whatever. Usually the person on the other side of the phone was not who they represented that they were.
True.
Right? But now people don't, the internet is so crisscross and you're so instantly in touch with people that people, regular people, don't stop for a minute to think, maybe the person that's on the other side of this conversation or representing themselves isn't really all that they're saying they are. They believe everything.
Sadiq,
they just believe it.
Sadiq, how did you find your women when you were still dating? I mean, if you weren't using Match.com, what were you doing?
You just freestyle, right?
Freestyle.
Yeah, he's actually walking out in the world and meeting people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. That's how we did it. Before all this modern day technology.
Right.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody's caught up in the fad. You know, it's just like whatever's the latest, that's what everybody's doing.
Well, that's a good point, though. You go to a bar, let's say you go to a club or a bar, and you meet someone there, and they turn out to be
a serial killer, too.
Can you sue the bar? The bar should have done a background check on the person who came in.
Exactly.
Look at it that way.
215-263-1003. Sadiq, thanks for joining us this morning on Court Radio.
Thank you.
All right, man. Take care. 215-263-1003. Let's talk to Lisa from Willingboro.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I just wanted to share my experience. I used to be a Match.com customer, and I can tell you from personal experience, they have a disclaimer out there that tells you that they do not conduct background checks, and they caution you what information to get out, and they encourage you, the customer, to do your due diligence and check out the person before giving out personal information about yourself.
Very helpful. Good. I'm glad you brought that up. Is that something that's prominently given to you through the process when you join up? Does it display on the screen or there's no way you can avoid seeing it?
You have to acknowledge it.
Oh, okay. See,
yes.
I think that, in my opinion, I think that's enough. I think Match.com really shouldn't. They're telling you they don't do background checks and check people out. What more do they need to do?
All right.
So that's what I wanted to share with you.
Thank you. That was very helpful.
You will definitely be on Match.com's jury pool, Lisa. All right. Have a great day, dear.
You too. Thanks.
215-263-1003. David, we're going to jump off of Match.com, even though we'll be back to it at some point today.
Right.
But right now, let's make the segue into gardens.
How do we go from Match.com?
Right there. We have some crickets.
Okay. There you go.
I knew he'd have the crickets. It's the only sound he has. It could be
the
nature.
The sound of growing.
Yeah, it's the nature sound. We're joined on the phone by Mike Devlin. Good morning, Mike, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me here.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Mike Devlin and his wife, Valerie Frick, are community activists in the form of garden activists, and they're trying to feed, in a sense, folks in Camden. And they've got gardens sprouting up all over Camden, and yet some of them, I believe, are going to be closed down soon. What's going on there, Michael?
Well, the current issue we have is that the state of New Jersey Treasurer's Office wants to remove us from our headquarters, the Camden Children's Garden, which is on the waterfront. They claim that they obtained ownership of the land from the city of Camden by an employee somehow overruling the city council, which had dedicated the land for our use back in April 1994. With a council resolution.
Wow, 18 years you've been there, 19 years, and...
Well, we've been there for 14 years, and it took us 5 years to plan, raise the money, and construct the facility.
Is there any documentation or any city council ruling or anything that says that it was transferred to the state?
We had checked with the city, and the city said no, and they produced all the resolutions mentioning the Camden Children's Garden and the Camden City Garden Club, and they were a succession of resolutions all the way, and ordinances, all the way up to last year when they once again endorsed our application for a USDA community food grant, which we did receive.
So have you filed anything in court to block or stay the transfer?
We're looking into that, and we're working on a review of several attorneys and entities that are willing to help.
Why do they want it? I'm sorry, go ahead.
And, you know, since this became public, because we didn't get this letter till Martin Luther King weekend, and I guess that goes hand in hand with a lot of the other Republican strategies throughout the country of changing voting laws again and other things coming out on, you know, inaugural weekend.
Sure.
And, Martin Luther King weekend, because most of the people we serve are people who are poor or struggling, the working poor. The median income, I understand, in Camden is now the lowest in the nation. We are one of the 9 worst food deserts in America. We are the worst food desert in New Jersey.
What? Tell me something. We got to explain a few things.
Yeah.
First of all, let me give out the number here. Folks, if you're listening, we're talking about actually feeding people in Camden. We're talking about gardens, and we're talking about growing good, organic, regular food that people get to, I guess, get either inexpensively or free. How does that
wholesale
work, Mike?
Whatever the people grow, they can keep. We have a nominal amount of dues that hasn't changed in many years, and we're 29 years old now as an organization. And what people pay, $25 a year as a family or $60 a year as a community organization or faith-based organization, and we have over 30 faith-based organizations as members and over 30 community nonprofits as members. And for that, we give out transplants, and we give out over 200,000 transplants a year, many of which are grown at the Children's Garden in the winter. They're growing right now, getting ready for distribution in March.
Is it
when the weather hopefully warms up?
It's covered, I guess, or somehow.
They're inside our greenhouses,
right,
and they're
okay.
Growing under lights.
Oh, nice.
And that's something we've done there for all 13 years we've been there. This is our 14th year now. They also get seed, fertilizer, lime, fencing, fence posts.
And you're beautifying Camden in a sense. You're beautifying Camden because, you know, it's certainly better to see a garden growing and people tending the garden than it is a rubbled lot.
Yeah, dirt lot, right.
You're right. And they're productive. They're not just beautiful,
right,
but they're productive. And there's over 120... community gardens or urban agriculture sites. There's a couple of those.
What's a food? Wait. Let's slow down. What's a food desert? What was that term? What does that mean?
A food desert is it's a measured term, usually by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and it measures food security within a jurisdiction. And food security is a measure of insured ongoing access to essential nutrition. And by essential nutrition, of course, they mean healthy, safe, nutritious food, and that there being a sufficient amount to sustain people to live an active, healthy lifestyle.
Mike, let's talk to Michael. Michael, hold for one second. Sure. We got a caller, Kelly from Voorhees, New Jersey, calling about the food gardens. Good morning, Kelly. Welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing well, thanks. You have a comment about this?
Yeah, I do. I just kind of think it's unfortunate that an organization such as Camden Children's Garden that provides nutrition education, they fight diabetes, fighting cancer, promoting community gardens, they are feeding low-income individuals, they do community revitalization, they employ Camden residents, and they provide a safe place where children can go and kind of see nature and learn about it. And they're being, in essence, attacked because they're doing all these good things in a city that has the highest crime rate and the highest poverty rate. It's amazing to me.
Well, the question I wanted to ask was, well, I know the answer, which is why the state wants this. And it seems to me the reason they want it, they're saying the reason is for the aquarium, to expand the aquarium or use it for the aquarium. But that sounds to me like lining the pockets of some developer who's probably politically connected to the state. And, you know, it's a money issue. And it is unfortunate that that seems to always win over the things that are actually helping the community.
Yes, it's unfortunate because, again, here's another case where the weakest in our community, the poor and impoverished,
right,
are getting stepped on,
mm-hmm,
so that, big industry can kind of get their stuff and go on about their business.
Exactly.
All right, Kelly, thanks for calling Court Radio, and have a great Sunday.
Thank you. You too.
All right. We're joined by Mike Devlin, a bioactivist. I like that term, bioactivist.
That's a new one for me.
Yeah, I know. It's coined.
I'll put it on my resume, I guess.
Yeah, coined here at My Philly Lawyer. We've coined many phrases. You are now a bioactivist. I envision you with like a little safari hat, some plants growing out of your ears, and taking on the governor of New Jersey, who doesn't look like he's been in a food desert any time in the last few weeks. Nope.
Well, I'm not going to comment on that.
I wouldn't, Mike. I wouldn't.
Who do not look like they've missed many meals. Quite well groomed, And I mean, not only does Camden have its troubles and its needs, but in this recent year, when First Lady Michelle Obama published her book last May, which has become a bestseller on gardening, and it's called American Grown, and it comes out of the kitchen garden at the White House. She included several pages on the Camden Children's Garden and on what our programs are doing in Camden. And she echoed what the University of Pennsylvania study has done over the last several years and said that we are probably the fastest growing community garden program in America. And that's a lot for poor little Camden. We usually don't get complimented for some of the things we're doing.
How many gardens are up and running right now, Mike?
There's over 120.
Wow.
And they're on over 26 acres of land.
All right. We're out of time. We're going to go to station break, Mike. Maybe we'll pick up with you as soon as we get back. Just stay on the line, all right?
Will do.
All right, folks, if you're listening, this is Court Radio, and you can reach us right after this break at 215-263-1003.
If you've been injured in an automobile accident, you know what matters. Being able to afford medical care, providing for your family while you're out of work, knowing your rights and getting just compensation. These things matter. That's why your attorney matters. I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. If you've been injured in an auto or truck-related accident, My Philly Lawyer will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
If you've been injured, the road to recovery can seem long. At United Therapy Centers, we're here to help. Call us 877-510-7764. With leading-edge technology and our team approach, if you've been injured, we can help. Call United Therapy Centers toll-free 877-510-7764. United Therapy Centers, get on the road to recovery.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weissman.
Hey, hey. David.
Yo.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Folks, back. If you're listening, this is Court Radio, and we're back live at the studios, WRNB Philly. The host of Court Radio. Yes.
The hub of the world right now.
That's right.
WRMB. And we're talking food, gardens.
We're talking bio.
Beautifying.
Bioactivism.
I think what you said, though, is important. Not just about food. It's about beautifying the area, education, learning about how food is grown.
And most importantly, feeding the folks in Camden who really, according to our bioactivist today, Mike Devlin, Our man about town in Camden. It's about feeding the kids. It's about providing some education, and it's about taking on big business. You know, I mean, this obviously gardens are a community effort, and I think that's the antithesis of the big business world. So, Michael's out there. Mike, you're under siege right now, and they're trying to storm your greenhouse. What is it that folks can do to help you? Because we want to try to give you a little helping hand. That's why you're on Court Radio today.
Well, I mean, we see it as a multi-level issue. We're going to deal with it legally, and we are talking to people who want to represent us, who are in the environmental world and the food security world, social justice world. And those are the main issues: food security, food justice, social justice, environmental justice, because we have a lot of environmental programs. And we've got two forces working against us. One part of the state, because several other parts of the state, ironically, have awarded us grants to do what we do and to do it at the Children's Garden. The treasurer of the state of New Jersey, though, doesn't seem to be aware of those things. And so we're dealing with the treasurer of the state of New Jersey and, you know, our next-door neighbor, the Hirshend Family Entertainment-operated Adventure Aquarium, who, in the letter we received from the state, is the designated winner in this thing. And Hirshend is from Missouri. They're not a New Jersey corporation, as far as I know. And, you know, people can contact the state, although when the state took away our money, which was, we were in the budget because the other aquarium did not pay on its contract and defaulted, rather than the state, who was their creator, making them do that, the state put us in the budget, which is a dangerous place to be.
No kidding.
They hold a lot over your head. And, you know, I know politics. I spent over 30 years in politics. I was talked into running for city council, and when I was there, and I was the city council vice president, both my presidents and both my mayors were convicted of corruption. So it was an interesting time. So people can contact the aquarium and tell them whether they support this move or whether they don't. They can also contact the treasurer's office up in Trenton.
Michael,
whether they listen or not, I don't know.
Right.
Michael, you're a 501c3 corporation, are you not?
Yes, we are.
All right. So, folks, if you're listening and you'd like to sort of weigh in on this topic, maybe you can make a small contribution to Michael's organization. And how would they actually get in contact with you, Mike?
We have a website, www.camdenchildrensgarden.org. And we have an office. We still have an office at 856-365-8733, which stands for TREE.
Oh,
okay.
I would say the two big things would be, like you said, calling the powers that be, which may be a fruitless thing, no pun intended, fruitless, and contributing to your organization to give you some funds that might be cut so that you can fight this thing.
Yeah. All right, Mike.
Thank
you very much for joining Court Radio this morning. We wish you the best of luck in this fight, in this legal battle over your land with the aquarium.
Thanks for having us.
All right.
Come
take
over
care.
And visit us at the garden.
I am.
Absolutely.
I'm going to come over and get a little piece of fruit this summer.
Be happy to have you.
All right. Be well. All right, folks, if you're listening to Court Radio, we've been talking to bioactivist Mike Devlin in Camden, New Jersey. He's fighting the state and Chris Christie, trying to keep his land free from the marauding. What's that word?
Marauding.
Marauding.
It sounds like they just decided to take the land. They're trying to finagle it back, even though they really didn't take it the proper way, it seems to me.
Yeah, I think Mike wins this one.
Well, legally, they certainly have standing to fight it big time.
All right, let's talk to, we got so many people to talk to, I don't even know where. Let's go to Dornicia in line 3. Hello, Dornicia.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
All right. Hey, did you think we'd finally get to you, Dornicia?
I was waiting very patiently.
All right, dear. What's your question?
Yes, I'm calling because my father been paying life insurance for me and my sister since the late 80s, early 90s, and Colonial is trying to drop us from 3 months and say, because we're smokers now, so they could no longer cover us with no kind of retribution.
Okay. What neighborhood are you from, Dornicia?
I'm from New Orleans, but I'm in Philadelphia.
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Got
wow.
New Orleans accent going.
New Orleans.
New Orleans. New Orleans. Wow. Did you come here after the flood?
Yes. Actually, that's where I had to be here from there. They put us on an airplane, and it's where we landed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So your area was affected to the point that you had to leave?
Yes.
Wow, that's a shame.
What parish were you in?
I was in a second ward.
Second ward. Okay. Well, listen, we're happy you've relocated because you bring a little Cajun to our area, and that's always a good thing.
Right.
David's a big fan of Cajun.
I like Cajun.
All right. So Dornicia has a life insurance policy that she's been paying on, David. And
well, that's what we need to find out. Have the payments been made, and they're just saying we're cutting you off? I don't get the.
Well, she became a smoker.
They cut us off because they say we're smokers now, and he had to renew the policy.
I got you. You renewed the policy. They had you fill out a medical thing, and they asked you if you smoked. You said yes, and they said, "Oh, we're not renewing the policy."
Yeah.
Okay. I think that go ahead, Dean.
Well, it's going to depend on the policy
it is,
language.
Exactly.
That's a contract, and whether they can cut you off because you have subsequently become a smoker is really dependent upon the actual language and whether you're entitled to anything. See, term life insurance is not something that grows equity. It doesn't have any value. You have it as long as you pay. When you stop paying, you stop having it, and it doesn't have any cash value. So I don't know if you have a term policy or a whole life policy that may have cash value, but everything is determined by the contract. And so if you want to come and you really want to get an answer to this question, you need to A, get your contract, and B, come down and see us at My Philly Lawyer. So give us a call during the week at 215-227-2727. Tell him Dean said, give us a call. And he said he'll take a look at our contract. And I will. All right? You bring the contract down. You bring your Cajun self down to down to my office, and we'll take a look at that contract for you, and we'll let you know if what they did was legal. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, deal. See you soon, Dornicia. I want some ribs or something.
No, you want some beignets.
Beignets?
Beignets.
Okay. See, you've been there. I haven't.
All right. It's awesome.
So, Dornicia is still listening. Dornicia, don't even think about coming to my office without a beignet in hand.
Beignet. But she can't. They don't travel well. Let's put it that way. You need to get them in New Orleans.
Hold
you
on. No. If a woman speaks like Dornicia, I got to believe that she knows how to cook up a beignet herself.
Crawfish bread, I'm being told.
No, I do
crawfish
not.
Crawfish bread.
You can't mix beignets and crawfish bread.
Well, no, beignets are,
God,
beignets are dessert.
That's
for
a
dessert.
Bad morning.
Crawfish bread is first. And then
I'll pass on the crawfish bread, but I want a beignet if she's coming for a contract review. 215-263-1003. Dornicia, you're not getting into my office without a beignet. Don't think about it. All right. Let's.
Chris Christie would like a beignet. He's had a few of them, I'm sure.
A few of them. It's like lived in New Orleans. He might be. We don't know where he came from. Maybe he's he came up when the flood happened.
Floated.
He's from the fourth. He is the fourth ward. Okay, let's talk to. We still have Sean on the phone on line one. Yes, Sean.
How you doing?
Oh my goodness, Sean.
He's been waiting.
You were like lost in a desert out there. All right, from Germantown, Sean, welcome to Court Radio. You got a match.com question. Let me refresh people who might have joined the fray after this. We started the show talking about a woman who was attacked by a date she met on match.com. She was almost killed. And she's since sued Match.com. She survived the attack, and she's sued Match.com, claiming that they had a duty to do a background check, I suppose, on her date.
Duty to warn her, duty to whatever.
And, Sean, you had a comment about that.
Yes. I hope that she doesn't win, because if she wins, it'll start a whole mess of, you know, can I now sue the church? Because I met a guy in your establishment, and they turned out to be bad.
Right.
And now I can sue the church, or I can sue the gym, or I can sue 7-Eleven. Wherever I meet someone, you had a duty to not let them in, and you let them in, and I met them there, and now I can sue you. You know, let's say you had two friends, two single friends, and you hooked them up, and it turned out bad. Now can they sue me?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
And I'm going to do it.
you understand what I'm saying?
But wait, here's the difference. Here's the difference in the scenario you paint. And I'm not saying that I'm necessarily in favor of this, but let's give them her props. Match.com is in the business, okay? You pay them to introduce you to somebody. You're not paying Sean to introduce two friends. You're not paying the 7-Eleven dude, you know, to hand you the milk and say, hey, that honey next to you needs a date. You're paying Match.com for the purpose of introducing, and they do put you through some questionnaires. So in that scenario, it's slightly different. And again, I'm not suggesting it's enough to rise up to a claim, but, you know, at least give them their props.
But what
Sean?
About the disclaimer?
Yeah, here's the thing. Match.com is not physically meeting these people. Match.com
right.
doesn't show up to that person's door to see their mannerisms and say, wait a minute, we can't put you on air. There's something wrong with you.
Right.
That's the reason why I believe she has a mental health issue when you're trying to meet someone through a computer screen.
Whoa!
Whoa! You're, millions of people
right.
now are going crazy
hold
on that one.
Hold on. How old are you, Sean?
I'm 32.
All right. So do you date? Are you married? What's the story?
I'm married.
See, they're all married.
Yeah. And I'm married, and you know why my wife never tried to kill me? Because I would have saw those traits in her the first day I met her and said, I'm not giving you my phone number. You might try to kill me.
But you saw love in her eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, it's like, you know, the computer screen doesn't do anything. It just sits there.
Yep.
You know, I can't see that something wrong with you through a computer screen.
Yeah.
You might have your friend answering the questionnaires.
Yeah.
Right, you're right.
You might have a buddy doing that for you, cause, you know, but can I sit here and say, because you might have a mental health issue, you don't deserve anybody? You don't deserve to meet someone also?
Right, that's what I said
before.
Because
that doesn't say you're going to try to harm somebody, because, I mean, there's people out here that can't read. Do they not deserve to meet someone?
Well,
I hate to argue it, because I hate this argument when it's made against It's usually a conservative argument, but there has to be some personal responsibility.
Oof. All right, Sean, thanks for calling from Germantown, and thanks for holding on the line for us.
You're welcome.
All right. 215-263-1003. We've got Dwayne in Mount Airy. Good morning, Dwayne, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
We're okay. Doing well, thanks. You got a question? We got an answer.
Yeah, yes, I do. I recently bought a second car, an SUV, to transport my mom. She has Alzheimer's, so I transport her around it. It's a little more roomy. Went over to Jersey and bought a vehicle. Got off the lot, and the engine light came on, service engine light came on. Turned it back around. They said, oh, it was sitting for a while. It was a used car with a used Grand Cherokee. They put it on their machine, cleared it up, sent us home. Got home, the car wouldn't start. I called them up. We went back on that was the 16th. On the 19th, we went back in there. They put it on their machine, did the diagnostic, said everything was fine. Drove it back home, went and parked the car, put some bags in the house, came back out. The car wouldn't start. Called the bank up and said, listen, I don't want this car, and my loan didn't go through. So I was told, you don't have to worry about it. When the loan goes through, this is what they're telling me at this dealer. When the loan goes through, you come back in, we'll get you in something different. I said, I don't want anything different. I don't want the car. I called the bank, and they told me the loan hadn't gone through yet. And I said, fine, let the bank know I'm not interested in the car. The car is no good. Fine. Saturday, going to take the car back. The loan must have went through. I go, this is Saturday just passed. Went back to the dealer. They said the loan went through, and there's nothing I can do. I have to keep this car. It's no good now. Is there a time frame that I'm allowed to return the car without any problems?
No.
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 But there is a used car lemon law.
Yeah, there is. But how old is this car?
This car is a 2006.
Okay, so it's 7 years old. Hey, lower your radio for a second.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's all right. So, car 7 years old, David, and I don't think the lemon law is going to apply to it.
Yeah.
I think it's out of warranty. But did you receive a guarantee or a warranty from the company that you bought the car from?
I got a 2-year warranty from this company.
Okay, well, there has to be a reasonable amount of time that they have to try and fix the problem. Obviously, this car has a problem. And if it's unfixable, meaning, you know, a certain amount of times you take it back and they can't resolve it, then you might be entitled to a different car.
Perhaps. Because it's covered under a warranty,
right.
You may have some rights, in addition to the warranty itself, that forces them to really treat you as a lemon law customer. But here's the deal. Your question was, can you just return it? Can you void the agreement? And the answer to that question is no.
Thank you very much. I was under some bad information. I heard you had a certain amount of time before you could do it.
No, you probably do, but it's a few days. There's a three-day contract. Well, some of them have 3-day.
Yes, of course, there are. There is a 3-day right of rescission on certain contracts, right. But not that contract.
Well, it depends on what the contract
says. Not when you go to a dealer and buy the car and leave with the car. You don't have a 3-day right of rescission in that instance.
Well, let's assume, how about this?
Mortgages, refis, yes.
Let's assume that
if somebody comes to your house to sell you something,
right.
that you have a 3-day right of rescission. You don't have it when you go to buy a
car.
Let's
assume his loan didn't go through. What would have happened then? They would have taken the car back.
Well, yes, because then he would not have fulfilled his end of the obligation. It was an offer and an acceptance, and his acceptance was the payment of the money. Well, if the money never came, then there wasn't an offer and an acceptance.
Exactly.
Then there wasn't a contract.
So what should have happened is you should have gotten that car back there quickly and before that loan went through.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda, yeah.
Exactly. Here's the answer to your question. No. All right, have a great day. Thanks for listening to Court Radio.
All right.
Well, David and I almost came to fisticuffs.
I don't know. I still don't know if that you're totally accurate.
Okay. Well,
whatever.
Yeah. Go back to contracts. Don Price.
Oh, please. They want to know. They want to do is
Temple
get that car off their lot.
Temple University, 1987. Don Price. You know what I got in contracts?
What'd you get? An A?
A D.
Well, here's my comment to you, Mr. Smarty Pants.
I got a D.
Here's my comment to you, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Yes.
If you're talking contracts.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Stop. It's almost as bad as poo-poo.
Mr. Smarty Pants?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I wanted to say something else.
I wasn't going
to
let that go by. Mr. Smarty Pants.
I wanted to say something different, but the radio won't allow that.
Okay,
so.
Go ahead.
Okay. Isn't a contract a quid pro quo? In other words, I agree to pay you X, and you're going to give me Y? Did they give him Y? Did they give him a functioning car that has no problems, which is what they're warranting to give him? He's buying a car that's usable. You turn it off and you can't start it again. It ain't usable, meaning they didn't perform their contract.
Could be.
Right?
I mean, that's creative.
What do you mean creative? It's contract, basic contract.
Oh, okay.
Go back to school. Don Price. yeah, you like that
but
argument.
They gave, I do, but they gave him a warranty that implies that there may be a problem with it.
Well, no, he probably bought it. He didn't buy it as is because they gave him a warranty.
Give me the crickets, please.
Whatever.
Okay. Thank you, David. 215-263-1003.
He should call my Philly lawyer.
He should. Everybody should call my Philly lawyer. 215-227-2727.
All right.
And that's the only way you can say it, by the way.
27.
Yeah. You can't say the other way. You know. You can't say it that way.
2727?
No. You can't say it.
No.
Can't say it that way.
Why?
Because it's against the law.
It is?
Yes. You have to say it as a entity, 2727. And with a little rhythm too to it. All right. 215-263-1003.
Too many numbers.
Yeah, I know. So many numbers. All right. Let's do we still have Tracy on the line from Northeast Philly? Hey Tracy, you still there with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you are a holder
Northeast
on.
Philly, where? Northeast Philly.
Actually, like, I live off Woodhaven Road.
Ooh, oh, nice.
Up
it's
near the,
like the burbs, yeah.
Up near the
that's
airport,
right.
On the border.
Busselton, Somerton is where I'm from, so
all
I'm
right.
Not far.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so yeah. Tracy, before you and David date, let me ask you. You have a comment on the community
match.
Gardens.
Match.com. You want Match.com? No. Okay.
What's the what?
I'm actually married, but no, I'm not Match.com. But it is scary. I always tell people who are single.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's
okay. No problem. Yeah. Back to like the Camden Children's Garden. I know this group for a very long time, and I want to commend Mike and the garden for all the amazing community work they do. And I'm actually a part of the Facebook group. It's called Save the Camden Children's Garden. So people are just outraged. I mean, it's gone up to like almost 2,500 people in like only a few days to be on this group.
Wow.
And it's kind of interesting, the Philadelphia.com article says a decision was made for the economic benefit of Camden, but, like, it's my understanding that the Hirschens family is one of the world's wealthiest companies, and the aquarium, I really don't know what they do to support the city, because I don't think they hire many people from Camden.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they do pay taxes.
I was going to say, for the economic benefit of the owner or developer of the aquarium, that's who's getting the benefit there.
Exactly. And, you know, the whole reason that the waterfront was developed in the first place was to help, you know, the people of the poorest, most dangerous city in America. And, of course, the garden does that, absolutely, and through all their programming. And they even hire youth. They have, like, a big youth program where they've hired, like, over 300 kids throughout, like, you know, their time period. And they keep them in school, and they out-educate them.
It gets the community involved, too. They're all involved in the community, which is a good thing.
All right, well, listen, I want to thank you for calling in support of the Camden Children's Garden. And again, that Facebook page people can go to is?
It's Save the Camden Children's Garden. It's actually a group.
Okay, a group. A Facebook group. Save the Camden Children's Garden.
Yep, that's right.
All right, thank you, and thanks for having thanks for joining us today.
All right.
Bye-bye. Let's talk to Anthony from Collingswood's calling to support the gardens. Good morning, Anthony. Welcome to Court Radio.
Anthony.
Okay.
Anthony?
Nope. Gone. Let's talk to Charisse. Charisse from North Philly. Good morning, Charisse. You're on.
Hi. I'm calling because I want to know if there's a woman actually in Philadelphia who's given birth to a child, knows it's her child and everything, does she have to file for custody of this child once she has him?
What do you mean has to file for custody?
That's what I've been hearing. Like,
does the woman have custody?
Yes, I have custody of him. I mean, as far as I knew, I know he's my child, but I'm hearing from different women that it's advisable to go down to Leavitt Market and file for custody and get custody of your child.
Well, what's the issue with the father of the child? Is the father...
He's nowhere in the picture. He's never been in the picture.
Okay.
Is he even identified?
Yeah, well, I know he's the father. That's far as
Is he on the birth certificate?
No.
Okay. And now, the answer is no.
Every parent has a right to some type of custody, even if it's just visitation, rather. But if the father is not doing anything, there's nothing for you to do. In other words, if he's not asserting his right, then you have custody.
And he's not even on the birth certificate. He'd have to prove he's the father, even, you know, no matter what. So, no, I would say the answer is quickly no.
No.
Have a great day. Thanks for calling Court Radio.
That's an easy one. No.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, there's no reason to do that.
That's been the answer lately, David.
Yes.
Yes,
no.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, let's talk to line one. Anonymous. I like Anonymous.
Ah, we love that.
Yeah. Hey, Anonymous, what's your question or comment?
Hi. I'm calling because I want to know, when is it appropriate to, if you are a witness for someone, even though the crime, I was the victim of an assault on my job, and then when it first happened, you know, the job tried to turn a blind eye like it never happened at all, but then once I started putting in claims and filing, you know, trying to prosecute the guy myself, they decided to get involved because it didn't want to fall back on them. So they're actually taking the guy to court to prosecute him.
Well, that's a nice thing. What's your question, though?
As a weapons for a weapons charge.
What's your question?
I'm the witness for the team, but I don't feel like I feel like I'm getting the raw end of the deal. Like I should have somebody.
All right. Well, once you get the question, see, this is what I want you to do. You're going to spend the next week, and you're going to think of the question,
yes.
And then you're going to write the question down.
And we're going to limit you to 5 sentences.
And then you're going to call back next week, and
there
we're going to let you read the question.
Right.
But you got to get it out, because you don't have forever. It's radio, dear.
We're off the air.
Yeah,
see.
We got to move on to My Philly Speaks with E. Stephen Collins coming right up after these announcements.
Goodbye.
If you've been injured in an automobile accident, you know what matters. Being able to afford medical care, providing for your family while you're out of work, knowing your rights and getting just compensation. These things matter. That's why your attorney matters. I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. If you've been injured in an auto or truck-related accident, My Philly Lawyer will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident? With your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.